Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. This week, family, we went to Culver's for lunch. Now that the kids are out of school, we've got a little opportunity to do some things like that. So we went and ordered our food. And going back to the table, I'm thinking, something doesn't add up right. I'm looking at the receipt. I got a senior discount. Not sure if I should be happy or offended. Certainly shattered my self-image. So the rest of the week, Matthew's been coming up looking at how many gray hairs I have in my goatee here. I used to think of myself as the young pastor. There would be meetings, and they'd have special books and seminars and conferences for young pastors. You know, pastors under 40. I'm not in that category anymore. I'm not the new father. I'm not the new parent. I'm not newly wedded. We're going to be married 20 years next year, That just seems unreal to me. I'm squarely in this middle life thing. I think all of us create this image of ourselves. All of us put our hopes, all of us affix certain values to particular aspects of our lives, and that starts to shape our identity. It starts to shape who we think we are. It's what we glory in, whether it is our youth, whether it is our success at our jobs. Some of us, we glory in our families. That becomes the identity-shaping reality for us. For some of us, it's being an American. That is the thing that we point to. That's the thing that we take the greatest pride and joy in. Maybe it's being a Republican or being a Democrat or whatever it is, there is something that we glory in, something we rejoice in, something that we take great pride in. Paul closes Galatians by having us think about what we boast in, what it is that defines our identity, what it is that is most important to us, what we glory in. Let's read the text together. Galatians 6, verse 11. I hope you have your copy of Scripture open. Would you stand, if you're willing and able, for the reading of our sermon text this morning? This is the word of the Lord. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for Jesus, who is our hope, who is our joy, who is our glory, who is our only boast. Let this word come into our hearts. May this word become the reality for us as we receive it by faith. I ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable to you, and that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to the hearts and the minds of all who've gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In verse 11, Paul starts signing this letter. In the ancient world, writing was not an easy thing to do. And so oftentimes secretaries would be employed who would transcribe the thoughts and the wishes of the author of the letter. And so Paul has utilized someone to write down these words for him. But as he comes to the close, he wants to sign this letter. And so he says, I want you to see what I've written here. Notice the large letters that I write with. It's his last word. It's his P.S. It's the last thing that he wants us to hear. And what he wants to say, the point he's trying to drive home, really the summation of the book, is here in verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says, Paul writes that no matter what, he will boast in, identify with, and be conformed to nothing but the cross of Christ. The cross is at the core of his identity. What does Paul mean when he talks about the cross? Well, certainly he's talking about those wooden beams that were affixed together on which Jesus was nailed. The actual physical instrument of the death of Jesus. He has in mind the actual crucifixion. The day when Jesus was led to Golgotha. After being brutalized through the night, when his arms were stretched out and the soldier took the spike and drove it through his wrist, when he's hoisted up and dropped mercilessly into position, when his feet were nailed to the platform, as he hung naked, thirsting in agony. He has in mind the bloody cross on which a slaughtered Savior redeemed a wretched people. He has in mind the spiritual realities underneath the physical cross. When he says, I boast only in the cross of Christ, he's boasting in the atonement of sins through Jesus' shed blood. His glory was in the washing of regeneration through the blood of Christ. He identifies himself as one for whom Christ had died because he had nothing else to commend himself to God with. He said, this, the cross, is my glory. This is my hope. The cross is my boast. The cross is at the heart of who I am. And he contrasts identifying in and the boasting of the cross with the boasting of circumcision. These have been the antagonists the whole book. This group of religious leaders who came after him to Galatia and urged the Galatian Christians to abandon the cross alone and embrace the rite of circumcision. Saying there is something that you can do, something that you can add, something that you can contribute. You've got to do your part. Understand that when Paul thinks of circumcision, he's thinking of something that is socially acceptable. It's what fits in. It was the religious practice that was accepted by society. It was comfortable. It was safe. It was respectable. It was a source of pride. It was a means of self-salvation. The cross? Not so much. What does it mean to boast in the cross? There's four things that Paul points out here in this passage as he closes out this letter where he urges us to boast only in the cross. What does it mean for us? First of all, boasting in the cross means that we'll be hated. He sees in verse 12 and verse 17, he says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. The cross is not popular. It's reviled in the eyes of the world. And Paul says, these people of the circumcision, they're wanting to urge you to take the easy path, the path of least resistance, the path of social acceptability. The cross is not popular. The cross is despised. Christ is rejected. He is hated. And the followers of Jesus are rejected along with Him. I want you to understand very clearly this morning that if you are going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, you will be rejected. You will be called a bigot. You'll be called hateful. You'll be called narrow-minded. You'll be called foolish. You'll be accused of being arrogant. You'll be despised. For a long time in the United States, we have enjoyed social acceptability. And in one way, it has been a great blessing for us. In another way, it has brought great harm to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that we have turned a page in the history of our nation. And Christianity is no longer acceptable. Biblical fidelity is no longer respected. If you are going to be faithful to Jesus, you will be despised by society. One of the reasons that the circumcision group went the way that they did is because it was easier. I mean, it doesn't sound easier. You go through a surgical procedure, but in light of the hostility of the world, it was preferred. And Paul says, if you're going to boast in the cross, you are embracing persecution. He identifies it here in verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I wonder as he wrote about boasting in the cross and he thought about the wounds, he thought about the scars, the nails through Jesus' hand, the lashing that Jesus took across his back, the crown of thorns pressed down on his head, and the scars from that suffering. I wonder if Paul looked at his own beaten and battered flesh and thought, I'm following the footsteps of my Savior. He would never compare his suffering with the suffering of Jesus, but he knew that if he was going to follow Jesus, he would experience at least some of the rejection that Jesus experienced, some of the suffering. Paul expands on this in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 27. Listen to what he writes as he gives his personal testimony. He says, I worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, have been exposed to death again and again, all for the sake of Christ. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Why did he go through that? Because he boasted only in the cross. And he refused to turn away and back away from following Jesus. To make the cross the center of your life and identity, it will cost you. You may not suffer physical abuse, but you'll be mocked, You may not be pelted with stones and beaten, but you'll be mistreated. You'll be excluded and isolated by the world. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul wrote, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." We should not be surprised because the Lord Jesus Himself was hated. But I want you to be clear about something, friends. This is no cause for self-pity. This is no cause for us to throw a pity party for ourselves and whine. In Acts 5:41, the apostles rejoiced because after they had been censured and mistreated by the court, they rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. To boast in the cross means that you'll be hated by the world, but you'll be a hero in heaven. Matthew 5:11 and 12 says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake." Secondly, boasting in the cross means that we will be humiliated. This ought to be clear. If you're going to be hated and mistreated, it's a humiliating thing. The circumcision group were well regarded. They were well respected in the community. They were held in esteem by others. They were proud of who they were and what they had accomplished. The Christians, on the other hand, they were a humble lot. The circumcision group could take pride in what they contributed to God, what they had to offer. The Christian group, they came because they had nothing to give. The circumcision group boasted in their accomplishments and in their followings. They lined up the people and said, "Hey, look who we've got. Look who's on our side." The Christian group, they were counted as the least in the eyes of the world. It's humiliating to be hated and reviled. It's humiliating to be utterly helpless. But this is the Christian way. In Philippians 2, we're told that Jesus, who is God, became a human being and He utterly humbled Himself, even to the point of death on the cross. Yet it was at the greatest point of Christ's humiliation that the Father highly exalted Him. In Hebrews 11, we are reminded of the saints of old who lived by faith and they engaged in so many great exploits, and it sounds so heroic and so bold, but then the writer of Hebrews at the end of the chapter says, let me talk about some of these others. They were jeered. They were mocked. They suffered. Yet they lived by faith. There's even one who's described as being cut in two, sawn in two. It was humiliating for them. Yet they persevered in faith. We don't have it nearly as hard in our lives. Yet we can barely stand the humiliation, can we? In James 4, verse 6, James writes that God opposes the proud, but He shows favor. He gives grace to the humble. The way of the cross is humiliating in the eyes of the world, but it's the only way to God's favor. Boasting in the cross means that we come clean with God. We confess our sin. We don't try to cover up. We don't try to hide. We don't try to put on a brave face. We give up being hypocrites. And we expose our wickedness to God and we come to Him in humility and humiliation. And that's when He gives us blessings. That's when He gives us grace. The way of the cross is humiliating. Third, boasting in the cross means we'll be holy. Verses 14 and 15. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What counts is the new creation. Paul's already written earlier in Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. To be a Christian means that we have a new life, to be a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Christians have died to the world, not the rocks, not the trees, not the water, not the people, but the system of the world, the idea that the world is all that there is, that this is the greatest, our attachment to the world, the system of self-rule and rebellion against God. We have died to that, and we have new life in Christ. Christians now are a holy people, devoted to God, committed to His rule and reign. As Christians, we love Christ. We love Christ above all. He comes first. We don't love Him perfectly, but we love Him progressively, continually. Sometimes two steps forward and a step back. And some days it feels like it's one step forward and two steps back. Yet we persevere. We are a people continuing to march to Zion because our allegiance is to Christ, to His kingdom above all else. We take seriously the word of 1 Peter 1:16. Be holy, says the Lord, because I am holy. And holiness comes only through the cross. After we've been crucified to the world, we come alive to the kingdom of Christ. That's where our identity lies. We're citizens of His kingdom. We belong to Jesus. We devote ourselves to Him. Boasting in the cross means that you'll be hated. It means you'll be humiliated. It's the only way to holiness. And friends, I want you to understand this morning that boasting in the cross means that we will be heaven blessed. Verse 16, Paul writes, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. When you give your life to Christ, you receive mercy. You receive peace. And in verse 18, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Peace, mercy, and grace. Gifts of God that come to us only through the cross. Are you broken this morning? Is your life in ruins? Have you been shattered because of your sin? Are you falling to pieces because of your addictions, your struggles, the besetting sin in your life? Are you just hanging on by a thread? Come to the cross and receive peace from God. Peace that puts you back together. Peace that makes you whole. Every one of us are Humpty Dumpty. We've all fallen down. We've all shattered to pieces. No one else could put us back together except Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come and receive the shalom of God. The peace of God that makes us whole. Are you a sinner today? Are you ashamed of all that you've done? Are you terrified that we're going to know? Do you live in fear and in the shadows trying to hide and trying to cover up? Do you wear a mask? And outwardly, people look at you and think that you've got it all put together, but inwardly, you know you're broken and you're guilty and you're ashamed. Come to the cross and find mercy. Find mercy so that all your sins are washed away and you're declared not guilty but righteous in the eyes of God because of the cross. Are you helpless? Are you needy? Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you despair of tomorrow because you don't know of any way you can make it? In the cross of Christ, you find grace. The riches of God provided to you through the blood of Christ. Boast in the cross. Find your hope in the cross. Glory in the cross alone. Because that is where you find peace. That is where you find mercy. That is where you find grace. That is where you find Jesus. And nowhere else. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. You are heaven blessed at the cross. Though in this life we have trouble, nothing can take away what God has prepared for His people. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him, for those who glory in the cross, for those who boast only in the cross, for those who identify only in the cross." You can't imagine what God has in store for you. Will you be hated in this world? Yes. Will you be humiliated in this life? Yes. Are you called to the road of holiness? Yes. Are you heaven blessed? Of course. And so much more awaits. You have Jesus. You have the presence of God. And you have a home with Him. So, dear friends, let us give ourselves over to Christ. Glory and boast in the cross alone. From the world's perspective, it costs you everything. But for those of us who know, it is no sacrifice to embrace the cross, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. The book of Galatians is a defense of one simple truth. That our greatest need in life is to be made right with God. And the only way to be right with God is by God's gracious act of justifying sinners through faith alone, in Christ alone, because of the cross alone. This is grace. This is mercy. This is peace. So don't give up on it. Boast in it. Glory in it. Faith alone, in Christ alone, because of the cross alone. Let's pray. This morning, if you are not a Christian, dear friend, I don't know what your life is like. If you think everything is put together and you're doing just fine, I pray that God just shatters you in His mercy so that you'll turn to Him. And this morning, if you are in this state of brokenness and despair, turn to Jesus. Put your faith in Him. You can pray something like, "Oh God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm guilty, but I know Jesus died for me and I put my trust in Him. I confess Him as my Savior and Lord." Friend, if you pray something like that, you will receive the gift of eternal life. Would you do it right now? If you're a Christian here this morning, boast only in the cross. Let the cross be who you are. It's in Christ alone that our hope is found. He's our only boast. And so, Father, we pray to this end that our glory, our boast, our identity would be in the cross of Christ. Though hated by the world and humiliated in the eyes of the world, it's the only way of holiness, the only way of righteousness. The only way of heavenly blessing. May we never turn away from the cross. May we cling to it. May we cling to Jesus alone. It's in His name we pray. Amen.